Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. A very happy Friday to you. Well, when you think about it, sometimes God lets certain things in our life fall apart in order to rebuild us in the way that He wants. In fact, I'm seeing that very thing happen in my own family right now. And in the ashes of pain and in the ashes of heartbreak, something beautiful is emerging. And we're going to talk about building our own castles and how God redirects us sometimes in painful ways. So excited to welcome singer-songwriter Nicole Nordeman to the show. We're celebrating her new album, The Unmaking. It's an artist corner this first hour of Live the Promise. We're going to play songs and hear stories behind the songs. And if you're in that kind of a season where you maybe need to remember who you are to Jesus and what He's up to in your life, you've come to the right place. I just think you've got an amazing hour of ministry to your soul today. I just think you're here by, not by accident. Second hour, my friend Mark Batterson joins me again on the show to talk about his new book, If, and talk about what it means to live with no regrets. Okay, here's my question for you. When has God undone something in your life in order to bring you closer to Him? When has God undone something in your life in order to bring you closer to Him? Well, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Nicole Nordeman is a singer, songwriter, and recipient of 9 Dove Awards. Her most well-known songs include Legacy, Brave, and What If. You can learn more about her and her music on the web at NicoleNordeman.com. Dear Nicole, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. What a thrill to be with you.
Looking forward to talking about this beautiful album. I just had church in my office as I prepared for this hour, so I'm excited for our friends to hear your music.
Thank you so much.
Well, Nicole, we start out every conversation, every single day, with Scripture. We love the Word of God, and I love the passage you chose. It's one that's very dear to my heart, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. I would love to know just your thoughts and your heart behind that passage.
You know, I think because this season for me has been one of unmaking and one where God has torn down some things or allowed some things to fall down maybe in my life, and we can talk about that in a bit, but I think because of that, I just feel like this scripture has been so close to me, so close to my heart. The Message version says, "Your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you. Mm-hmm. Happy to have you back, He'll calm you with His love and delight you with His songs." And I think the image of God as strong warrior and then one verse later, calming me with His love and His songs are so, I don't know, that's just feels to me to be such a powerful image that God would both be our Savior and also wrap us up in His arms.
Indeed.
At the same time and sing over us.
Makes me think of also Psalm 18:35, one of my go-to verses. It says, "You give me your shield of victory, your right hand sustains me, you stoop down to make me great." I just love that because He's like giving us His shield of victory, He's sustaining us, and then He stoops down and lifts us up. And
That's right.
So good. So give us a little backstory, if you would, Nicole, on your faith journey, how you came to Christ and when you were, you know, all in. I mean, if that was a separate moment for you, were you really engaged?
Well, I think my story is like so many. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school for, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade. So definitely from a very early age, I had a pretty clear understanding of God's love for me and of what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. So that was, faith was a language that I, you know, was native to me from a very early age. I'm so grateful for that. But of course, like a lot of us who share that story, grew up in the church, it didn't become real, really real for me in terms of personal commitment and important decisions that I was making to live out that faith until probably in my mid-20s when I sort of stopped letting my teachers and pastors and professors and parents answer for me regarding my relationship with Jesus and started to answer for myself. And, you know, certainly made plenty of mistakes in the process, but felt like I could really own that relationship eventually.
I love that. You know, I just recently interviewed my friend Jill Savage, and she's talking about, you know, no more perfect kids. And she said, when we see little ones fall down when they're learning to walk, we don't say that they made a mistake. We say they're making progress. And she said, and yet we got to give the same grace to those who are in their 20s. They're making progress. They're going to
fall down
in that process of making it your own. I mean, I feel like that enemy can come in and condemn all day long, but Jesus never rolls his eyes or breathes a heavy sigh when a young adult is trying to find their way, you know?
That is absolutely true. Or any adult is trying to find their way, young or old. I think I love the distinction between progress and calling it a mistake. And I think you're right. I think that's something that we like to impose on people, our own standards and our own bars that people can't reach, and our own definition of what a successful relationship with Jesus looks like. And I'm not even sure he would ever use the word success if he were describing what it means to be loved unconditionally. So I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Just
lots of falling down over here.
Amen. Say, hey, it takes one to know one. Let's just say that. So, Nicole, if you don't mind, as much as you feel safe to do so, would you talk to us about that unmaking season that you've just come through?
Absolutely. You know, for me, Susie, it was just the acknowledgement of the failure of a 10-year marriage, which really had been on life support for about 9.5 years of that, and really, and there was no story or scandal or anything that's worth gossiping about at all, just brokenness and hurt from the very beginning. And for both of us, I can own plenty of my own stuff, and just acknowledging that that sometimes, and this is really where the song The Unmaking came out of, but sometimes God really allows stuff to come down. He allows these monuments that we've built to ourselves. And, you know, for me it was marriage. I think for other people it could be any number of things. These structures that we've been holding up, trying to sort of maintain the illusion that things are okay when everyone can see from the curb that it's, you know, barely standing. But it's pride, and it's mostly pride for me anyway, that just kept me from acknowledging that it wasn't going to last. It wasn't. This was not going to be one of those stories that I wanted it to be, where we had the happy ending and the testimony, and I got to write the book and the song, and it just, that didn't happen. And I think for a long time I hid from the truth of that, just because it's hard, and it's shameful, and it's failure, and, you know, it's hard for anyone who's walked that road. It's a little extra difficult when you're a professional Christian who gets to sort of share that with the world as well, that failure. So all of that came sort of to a head, I think, when I was sitting in church one Sunday, and a pastor friend of mine was speaking, and he was talking about how quick we are as believers to just rush through that broken season, and to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and to say, you know, God's going to turn this into something bigger and better and stronger, and roll out our blueprints for God and say we're going to build something taller and, you know, better than before. And this, our inability to grieve and to sit and to let God minister and speak truth to our very broken, open hearts. And I thought, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm already planning for the strategy of how to recover. And God is saying, sit with me in this pile of rubble and let me love you. And when we're ready, let's rebuild. But it's not time. Let's just let the tears come so I can speak grace over you. Hmm. And that's really where the song came from.
Wow. We're going to play The Unmaking from Nicole Nordeman in just a moment. But I just feel like what Nicole said maybe is for you, and wanting to rush past the grief or the failure or whatever it is you've come through. And to rush past it is to miss, I think, the depths of healing God wants to offer you. So trust him in that place. Let's hear Nicole Nordeman's song, The Unmaking.
This is where the walls gave way. This is demolition day. All the debris and all this dust, what is left of what once was, sorting through what goes and what should stay. Every stone I laid for you, as if you had asked me to. Monument to holy things, empty talk and circling, isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Got Artist Quarter today with Nicole Nordeman. More of her amazing songs off the album The Unmaking. More when we come back. Don't go away. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Nicole Nordeman for an Artist Corner, celebrating her album, The Unmaking. And Nicole, that song was just excellent. And I just appreciate you so much sharing part of your heart and your story, because it makes you so accessible. Many others listening today are walking through their own grief. And I was just talking to my son, Nicole, about this whole idea of not rushing through the process of grief and heartbreak. And I think we're in a day where we, especially I think among Christians, my dear brothers and sisters, we're not comfortable with grief, and we want to tie it in a bow and give it a nice ending to the sentence. But I feel like if we rush through it, if we medicate, make excuses, or even kind of put cliches on them, we don't experience the depth of how God wants to meet us in those places, don't you think?
I think that's absolutely true. I think there's something unique. There's a unique pressure about, a self-imposed pressure, I think, when you're a Christian, because we spend so much time trying to present ourselves to the world as different. So we spend a lot of time selling Christianity to a world by saying, hey, there is life and abundance and joy and peace and all of these things that are found in Jesus, and you can have that too. And so then when we experience as human beings grief and loss, I think there's a reluctance to show that to anyone as well, because it feels like, well, are we communicating that he's less than Lord now, or when we don't know what to do with our tears or our suffering, is that somehow raising question marks for other people? You know, it's just we become so uncomfortable with our own humanity, and I just don't think that's anything that Jesus has done. I think that's just pressure we put on ourselves to maintain a certain thing in front of other people.
Mm, which is so sad, because those who are suffering and those who are grieving need a place to go. And I think the worst weight you can add to somebody who's grieving is kind of the Job friend thing. You know what your problem is.
That's
or
right.
You know what you need to do. And I think about what Jesus said, in this world you'll have troubles. And Scripture talks about these trials that we walk through that are huge. Scripture says they're light and momentary compared to the weightiness of glory we're going to experience later, which is just so amazing. So to rush through this and not feel the depth of it is to miss it all, I think. So this song, Name, talk to us about this one and what it means to you, and maybe a little backstory on that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this song really just came out of just kind of reflecting back on my life as a believer. As I mentioned, I grew up in the church, and so I identified with being a Christ follower a long, long time ago as a little girl. And I think that the song is kind of looking back a little bit over my life and realizing that for those of us who have been followers of Christ for a long time, we can sort of sometimes lose the passion and lose the power and the impact and the miracle. We forget what a miracle it is that Jesus changed our names when he called us sons and daughters, because we've been sort of living this Christian life for so long and maybe have been lulled into a little bit of boredom or apathy. I don't know. I certainly have been in those places. So the song is really just reminding us of what our names are when we have forgotten. You know, we forget that he wrote our names in blood when he changed them, and life may cause us to sort of forget a little bit about who we are, who our identity is in Christ, but he has not forgotten, and so it's just about reminding ourselves of that.
And who doesn't need that reminder today? Let's listen to Nicole Nordeman's song, Name.
Up one day in a bad way with a dark heart in a small cave and decided to hide for the long bitter night. But one day someone loved you, let the light in, made the old new from some water and mud, wrote your new name in blood. And now something about it just doesn't seem real. Sometimes that's how it feels. You are still a promise, the heartbeat of God. You may have forgotten, but he has not. You are not your ashes, you are a flame. Do not ask the shadow, the light of the world knows your name. There was one day you were certain that he called you, cause you heard him. Disappeared, everything crystal clear. But then one day it was not so. Other voices you did not know, from the fray and the fringe, they were all weighing in. And now you can't remember who has your heart. Well, here's a start. You are still a you may have forgotten. You are not your ashes, you are a flame. Do not ask the shadow, the light of the world knows your name. He knows your name. You are not your ashes, you are a flame. Do not ask the shadow, the light of the world knows your name.
Wow, Nicole, I love that song. What's it like for you as an artist to listen to your work? What's that like for you?
You know, it's really fun. It's such a, I'm sure you've heard artists say over the years that songwriting really is like keeping a journal. So in some ways, you know, I wrote that song a long time ago before it ever made its way to the drawing board and into the studio and then eventually onto a actual CD. So for me, it's like going back and reading a journal entry and just remembering where I was and how I felt when I wrote it and just kind of getting to see God's hand, you know, just even back then sort of hovering over me and bringing me into such a place of hopefulness when I was not feeling hopeful at all about some things.
Mm. He's so good because we are so quick to forget. So I just want to read a couple of these lyrics from Nicole. Do not ask the shadows. The light of the world knows your name. And I love this. You are still a promise, a heartbeat of God. You may have forgotten, but God has not. You are not your ashes. You are a flame. We just got about a minute before we have to take a break. But I'm wondering if you could say a word, Nicole, to that person who is right now where you were when you were writing that song.
You know, I would say one of the biggest gifts you can give yourself is to surround yourself with people, with trusted people, friends or family, whoever it is in your life that you trust implicitly when you're walking through a dark time that will remind you of what your name is. Because we do ask the world who we are, and the world lies every time. So to be able to lean into somebody and say, remind me who I am in Jesus, remind me, if I can't see it, show me, hold up a mirror and show me who I am in the Lord. That's a tremendous gift.
Wow, absolutely amazing. And we're taking a short break, but I just want to say, Nicole, I'm so sorry for the heartbreak that you've walked through. And I just pray God will do a work in and through you that absolutely surprises you. Talking to Nicole Nordeman today about her new album, The Unmaking. We've got a few copies to give away, so here's the deal. I want you to email me. We're not going to take calls today. We want to play as many songs as we can. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Tell me your favorite Nicole Nordeman song and give me your address, too. So the first few of you to send me your address and your favorite song will get a copy of Nicole's brand new album, The Unmaking. More with Nicole Nordeman in a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is With the Promise, having an artist corner today with Nicole Nordeman, celebrating her new album, The Unmaking. We're hearing stories behind the songs and playing some of these great songs. And Nicole, this has just been such a sweet time. I wish we had you for 2 hours. It's been so good.
Oh, I do too. That'd be great.
Mm, so good. Talk to us, if you would, about the song Love You More.
You know, I have been so interested in reading my Bible again, which sounds like a bit of a confession. Not that I was disinterested, really, but I do think that it is just because I'm in a new season, it is, I'm reading new life into it. I love that it's a living, breathing part of God, who God is. And so because of that, I'm finding new things in it that I hadn't seen before. And some of that for me has just been reconnecting with the iconic men and women of these Bible stories that we've known since we were little. And I think for a long time I felt like I knew enough about their lives. I kind of knew the takeaway points. I knew the victories and the failures and all the stuff that you know from Sunday school, really. But I had not really connected with them as humans, as people like us who sort of get up in the morning and splash water on their face and put their pants on one leg at a time. And when they say yes to God, incredible things can happen. And when they fall down or say no to God, then pain follows. And so I just wanted to write a song, just a love song, really, from these people, these men and women in Scripture, and kind of just acknowledging that they were just people. They were people like we are, who are just trying to love the Lord better every day with their lives, and sometimes failing and sometimes really getting it right.
What grace. Let's hear it.
Said, go and sin no more. Though my eyes could not meet yours, I started running the third time the rooster crowed. You threw a party just for me, though I squandered everything. I was blinded in the middle of the road. Climbed up in a tree to see you, swallowed by the sea to flee you, sold you for a little silver and a kiss. I killed a man to love his woman, burned a bridge back to your garden, hung beside you while you took your final.
Is an epic song, Nicole. I mean,
oh man, thank you.
Wow, I got to hear a portion of it preparing, but I didn't get to hear the whole thing. And you know, it feels to me like this lament and this appeal. This lament over the ways that we fall down, but this appeal to, you know, You're all I want. You're all I need. And I mean,
that's right.
I'm just stopped in my tracks by that song. I mean, it really is a piece of work and art. Wow. I'm speechless.
I so appreciate that. I do think that so many saints who came before us experienced the same, that same desire to love him with everything.
And then you think of his fatherly heart for us. I mean, the ways that we beat ourselves up and we berate ourselves, and he loves us more. You know, I mean, imagine just his
heart
for us, you know, and he's saying the same thing back to us. I already love you more. And
that's right. I love you anymore.
That's exactly right. That will be your next song. You can come back and tell
me
when you're done.
You're so right.
Okay, thank you. Perfect, perfect. Well, how about we're going to squeeze one more song in before our last break. Talk to us about the song Slow Down. That one will bring tears to your eyes for sure. Talk to us about this one.
You know, this song was kind of a fluke, as sometimes the best songs on records, I think, just happen accidentally. But my son, Charlie, graduated from fifth grade this past year, and our school, like many, have a fifth grade graduation ceremony, and they, you know, stand up and say a few words and get a diploma, and it's very emotional. And we go to a small little private school, and the principal had asked me if I would sing for the class. And so I thought, well, I would sing something, you know, predictable or obvious or something easy, you know, maybe a hymn or maybe Legacy or something that would be appropriate. And then I just felt the night before, I just thought, oh, this is such an opportunity to do something special for Charlie, and which I don't get those chances very often. And so I just sat down at the piano and wrote the song in about 30 minutes. It just kind of came pouring out of me, and I was crying, and you know, and just remembering all of the moments in my life when I just wished I could slow everything down and just freeze time and be rocking my babies in a rocking chair again. And, you know, all parents everywhere just say all the time, it goes too fast. It goes just too fast. So that's what the song was about.
Mm. It indeed does. Let's listen in.
Yes.
Here's to you, you were pink or blue, and everything I wanted. Here's to you, never sleeping through, from midnight till the morning. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were trying to free your fingers from my hand, 'cause you could do it on your own. Stay here a minute more. I know you wanna walk through the door, but it's all too fast. Let's make it last a little while. I pointed to the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan. I hope you know I am. But do you think you can sell? Slow down. Here's to you, every missing tooth, every bedtime story. Here's to Barbie cars, lightsaber wars, sleeping in on Sunday. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were teaching me the only thing love can. Hold hands through it when it's scary. You've got me. Let's slow down. Won't you stay here a minute more? I know you wanna walk through the door, but it's all too fast. Let's make it last a little while. To the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan. I hope you know I am. But do you think you can somehow slow down? Please don't. You'll hold a little. ask them if they care.
Is an amazing song, Nicole. Wow.
We've all been there as mamas.
Indeed.
Slow down.
What was your son doing when he watched you sing that at his graduation? How did he handle that?
You know, he was so cute. He's right at that middle school age where, you know, everything either is firmly in the camp of cool or uncool.
Yes.
And so I had asked him several weeks leading up to it, are you sure you're okay if I sing? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's cool. And then I said, are you sure you're okay if I sing? And same answer. And then the night before he said, you're still singing, right?
Oh.
He was so excited because I just don't do that stuff very often. So he was very proud. He tried to be, you know, he tried to look pretty conspicuous, but he was beaming inside. I could tell for sure.
So powerful. I have three grown sons, and it's all I could do to not cry my eyes out during that song. Wow.
Yes.
So beautiful. The gift of songwriting that you have is just bar none. Wow. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear more, some of the older songs from Nicole Nordeman, and just more about her story, what God is doing in her life. Again, I've got a couple copies, 2-3 copies of her new album. If you want to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Tell me your favorite Nicole Nordeman song. Make sure you leave me your address because I'm not going to chase it down, okay? More with Nicole Nordeman in a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Nicole Nordeman. It's Artist Corner with Nicole today. So we're celebrating her new album, The Unmaking, playing some great songs and hearing the stories behind the songs. We just love these Artist Corners. We know you do too because I hear from you. And Nicole, I'm just thinking, you talked about your own unmaking and some of the valley of the shadow that you've been walking through. Wondering if you could share what's been helpful, what hasn't. You can be generic if you want, but I want us as God's people to be more and more equipped to minister to those in the valley, because lots of people, their lives are being shaken everywhere we turn, and I want so much to do this well, you know? What has been helpful? What has not been helpful?
Well, I think, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but for me, I'm a really private person in general. That's just how I'm wired. So I'm not really one of those hard-on-your-sleeve kind of folks. But I took that to a new level, to a new extreme, when I was in so much pain and feeling so much failure and just walking through such a dark and lonely place. I didn't allow people to love me through it. I really didn't tell a lot of people. My closest friends knew that my marriage was ending, my family, of course. But I look back and I think I really could have allowed myself to be supported and loved really well, especially through my church, through, you know, people that I know would have seen me as just Nicole and not Nicole Nordeman, and treated me like just a fellow struggler, a sister in the Lord who needed some support and who needed some encouragement. And I think it's up to us to allow people to speak into our grief, and we can either sort of wall that off or be open to the gift that Jesus gives us in one another. So I'd really encourage folks to stay vulnerable, as difficult and sometimes embarrassing as that feels. What a difference to have people alongside you.
Such an important word. It's, you know, we wall off, as you say. It's like life doesn't get in or out, and we really
right.
I think that's such an opportunity for that enemy to lie to us. On the flip side, when we do let people in, you are running the risk, and just goes with love, I think, and goes with the issue of community, that someone's going to say something that just undoes you. And did you have those kinds of situations, or did you feel so self-protected that didn't really happen too much?
You know, I was very self-protective, but then when I did finally start to just sort of let the light through the cracks a little bit and to share where I had been with some people, and then eventually I did have to share it with in a more public way with some fans, because I felt like that would be important, just to acknowledge at least where I have been, so that I can talk about the journey and talk about what God's doing in me. I braced myself. I typed a Facebook post and hit send, and you know, wrung my hands for the next 8 hours, just wondering if I would hear condemnation or judgment or, I don't know, just inappropriate commentary on my life. And I was just stunned at the outpouring of love and grace and, you know, I'm there, or I've been there, or we've got you, we love you. You know, I wept. I wept for a solid 24 hours at how beautiful the love of Jesus felt to me, just even over Facebook, which I never would say that about Facebook. I hate Facebook. But just that particular day, I thought, thank you, Lord, you know, for the encouragement. I haven't heard anybody say an ugly word about it, which has just been a real gift.
So grateful. And how did you navigate, we're going to play Legacy in just a moment, and that is your heart's cry. How did you navigate the enemy's accusations as you're walking through this? Because he leverages every ounce of our suffering to try to turn it back on us. How'd you do that?
That was a huge part of the difficulty for me, is that I believed so much in the brand I had built about my persona, that I was an artist and I had spoken, you know, truth and life into other people through my music over the years. And I really kind of did buy into the baloney that I was different, not better, but different than somebody else in this situation. And therefore, I was going to come toppling down off of some pedestal, and so much for singing the song Legacy, because now I can't leave one and I'm damaged goods. And you're right, that is the voice of the darkness for sure. That is the voice of the enemy. I do feel like part of the legacy that I'll leave will involve transparency and vulnerability and linking arms with someone else who is maybe too afraid to stay there in the same spot. So the definition of legacy has changed from this sort of grandiose idea of things I've done for the kingdom to, you know, maybe I just put a brick or two in the wall, but I'm still building too.
You indeed are. Let's listen to Nicole Nordeman's song, Legacy.
I don't mind if you got something nice to say about me. I enjoy an accolade like the rest. And you could take my picture and hang it in a gallery of all the who's who's and so-and-so's that used to be the best at such and such. It wouldn't matter much.
Wow, Nicole, you think about even what you said before that song, that, you know, at one point, legacy meant doing big, grandiose things for God, which is, you know, in our hearts that we have the best of intentions. But then when we crawl through enough valleys, I love what you said, that now it's one of, you want to leave a legacy of transparency, humility, dependence on God. And that's what he wants from us, you know.
That's right.
So precious. We are getting ready to wrap up, and this hour has whipped by. You are a dear sister in the Lord, and I'm going to be praying for you in the days ahead. And
thank you.
Yeah, really mean that. And as we're wrapping up, wondering if you would mind praying for that person who's just feeling broken today. And I just feel like this conversation maybe lifted her chin today. Would you pray for her spirit?
Absolutely.
That God would lift her soul? Yeah.
God, you are so good to us, and we're so thankful that you love us the way you do. And Lord, I just ask right now, if there's anyone who's listening that just might feel just that overwhelming tsunami of loneliness, that they're the only ones walking through this, or the only ones who can sort of protect some sort of pain or secret or shame or anything, God, I just ask that you would right now really intentionally bring someone right alongside her, someone in the next minute or two that would be an opportunity to be your hands and feet and your heart, to remind her of the fact that you draw near to the brokenhearted. That's what you do, that's who you are, and that none of us are ever alone in any of this. Thank you for doing that in advance, God, in your strong, strong name.
Amen. Dear Nicole, so nice to meet you, and I do pray that our paths cross someday. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. It's been such a joy. I really, really have enjoyed it.
Title of her album again is The Unmaking.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and watch the world grow dim. Standing next to him in the light of his glory and grace.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, you'll find a podcast of this amazing conversation with Nicole up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up for hour two, I'll be talking to Mark Batterson. He's pastor, best-selling author. We're going to talk about what it means to live with no regrets. So another great hour is up ahead. Hour two of Live the Promise is up next.